Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we have been discussing social enterprise, and of course we have been looking at domestic and global enterprises which have created positive social impact with people and planet having a priority over simply profits. So let's look at some of the very inspiring stories from India itself, across platforms, across states, and how they are inspiring not just in the Indian context but also for the world at large. So we are all extremely familiar with the Amul story, you know, the white revolution that happened in Anand in Gujarat, and in fact it's become such an integral part of our life that we have the Amul, little Amul girl, and the Amul hoardings that are regularly put up are such an integral part of Indian culture, and they will typically have a tagline which is a bit of a play on the on butter, and how it will be relevant to something that is happening in the world, in the country, in the current times. And people look up to those, and people, get really look forward to those and really enjoy them, and the relatability. So Amul is one of the stories which has really been extremely inspiring, where the exploitative middlemen were eliminated by creating this cooperative structure of organizing the milk producers, having a tiered system to have zones at various centers, a cooperative system which has made it a brand which is not just servicing India, not just improving the livelihood of the dairy farmers contributing to Amul, but to Indian consumer, but also it's exporting its products across the world. So Varghese Kurien is the brain behind the Amul story, and we know exactly how it has played out, impacted our society, and created positive change. It has empowered the dairy farmers, empowered the people employed in the chain of the Amul products, in the supply chain of the Amul products, and how they have been protected from exploitative practices which may not have been, which were not optimal for them. The cooperative structure is a structure which has given the milk producers the control of procurement, processing, etc. So it has given them this sense of ownership, versus just being exploited suppliers, as may have been in the past. So this is really, the white revolution, the Operation Flood, which is an inspiring story from India, not just for Indians, but world over, for a lot of people who want to see and understand what all is possible. Now, across the world, over and above just rural communities and agricultural communities, you also have a lot of marginalized tribal communities. And we have seen how tribal areas also become inaccessible. The terrain becomes very, very tough. How there are mindsets, how this is, these are segments who are badly exploited, they don't get too much visibility in the mainstream media, various other platforms. So awareness about them, the needs there, the potential there is very low. So stories like Amul become extremely inspiring for people who want to carry out social enterprise in other parts, in these tribal regions, because then they realize, they can take a lot of learnings from these kind of structures and initiatives to maybe try to replicate them to begin with a smaller scale, and then possibly, hopefully, in the future, on a larger scale. But bottom line, versus feeling that an idea you have to better a local community gets the potential of being possible versus being impossible. So this is the story of Amul. Of course, the success of Amul also then brought in stakeholders and immense recognition from the government, which has, of course, taken it to the levels. In fact, the then Prime Minister, late Lal Bahadur Shastri, formed the NDDB, seeing Amul's success, and also replicated Amul's success in one state, in other states as well. And there was recognition, not just in terms of government support, policy support, but also in terms of recognition by way of awarding some of the highest awards, highest honors that the country gives to exceptional citizens. So Dr. Varghese Kurien received the Padma Shri Award and the Padma Bhushan and the Padma Vibhushan. Clearly, those are testaments to how much this enterprising story has contributed to the social, positive social impact of not just the country, but as a matter of honor, positioning India and Indian enterprise to the rest of the world as well. Of course, now let's talk about Sri Mahila Griha Udyog, which is Lijjad Papad. So we have those of us who have grown up in the 80s and 90s are very familiar with seeing this advertisement, TV advertisement of a happy white colored rabbit, eating Lijjad Papad and mouthing the jingle of Lijjad Papad, and it has been something which is a very integral part of our society and community from the point of view of social enterprise in creating these this farzan, in creating these products which are very, very popular. Now, to talk about the origins of Lijjad Papad, it started when just about seven women borrowed just about 80 rupees, and this borrowing, and they borrowed this 80 rupees to buy ingredients to make their papad at a small level so that they could make papad and sell it locally, self-sufficient, do something respectable and productive. So they started out as that, and gradually it expanded with the number of women associating themselves with it. And now these papads that were made were then sold to local shops. And the philosophy was to treat these women who were joining this movement not as employees, but to treat these women as parts of the extended parts of the family. And hence, they are called bens. So ben is, as we know, the Gujarati term for sister. So they are considered sisters and have an ownership, sense of ownership versus being thought of as employees. So as the local shops received this product really positively, lot of the other shops started reaching out with demands to buy these products wholesale, in a wholesale manner, which prompted the expansion of Lijjad Papad and more women working for this movement. So within 1 or 2 years, they had about 300 women working with them, their philosophy being very clear that livelihood and creating dignity of work and self-sufficiency is more important than the revenues and the profits that they generate. So they also had a policy that they would never lay off anyone because of regulatory conditions or anything. And collectively, they worked together and they formed Lijjad Papad and took it to the heights that it is at. So also their motto is Sarvodaya, collective collaboration, through which they work, and to get an idea of, you know, these humble starts and this scale that they have received, they have reached. You can understand that by you know, knowing that they have in excess of they have revenues in excess of 2000 crores, you know. So this is, they have turnover of over 2000 crores. So gives you an idea of the scalability of an idea and the sustainability. I mean, it started out decades and decades ago. Who would have thought that, you know, this meager borrowing of 80 rupees and that too by seven women is going to lead to this movement eventually, and you know, create so much dignity and create livelihood, employment, and so much betterment of those women. So the main focus being women empowerment rather than profitability. So this becomes, again, like Amul, this becomes a very inspiring story, not just from India, but also an inspiring story, you know, for the world to admire India and possibly try to replicate these models in other parts of the world. So again, you know, sharing some very informative details about these sisters. They have more than 40,000 sisters across the country working for them. Remember, they started out with just seven women who came up with this idea, who borrowed the money for those ingredients. So look at the contagious effect that it has had, and how many women and families would have benefited from this. Because when you have 40,000 women who are getting livelihood through this venture, then it's not just 40,000 women getting livelihood. Their entire families are benefiting in terms of their children getting good education, better healthcare for their families. So it is a very, very holistic social impact which is being achieved. Before I move on to the next enterprise, let me also mention that the recognition for Lijjat Papad rolled in from many fronts. They are, you know, they are a brand to reckon with. They are exporting to more than 25 countries. As part of this, you can understand how, you know, the qualitatively how superior their product is. And that is a result of not just a collaboration, but also a result of training being given, investments being made. When scaling up was happening, investments were being made in quality control. Investments were being made to ensure standardization, because scaling up of even a homegrown brand needs standardization. So there is consistency in the quality and presentation of your product. And late former President APJ Abdul Kalam conferred the brand equity award on Lijjat Papad, which it well and truly deserves. So a very, very, very inspiring story from a social impact point of view and from women empowerment and inclusion point of view. So likewise, there is Fab India also, which has a fabulous valuation, and we are familiar with the Fab India stores with very beautiful ethnic wear, other items, and the beneficiary. And interestingly, the founder of Fab India is not an Indian, as we assume. So you see, enterprises can be cross-border, don't have to be limited because of social or you know, geographical boundaries. It has over hundreds of stores, more than 9,000 artisans benefiting from it. So in terms of boosting rural employment, dignity of labor, improving their life from a health, education, family point of view, it is serving all of those purposes. Talking about you know, labor initiatives, and given that that is one of the key foundations, pillars at the core of creating dignity of life, achieving self-sufficiency and dignity of life, you have an app which is the Daily Labor Hub, not for Fab India, but since we're talking about employment model. So this social enterprise which venture, which is Daily Labor Hub, is a platform which connects daily wagers to contractors. So contractors and customers. So here we see how daily wagers line up. You know, they are hard pressed for jobs. They line up outside these windows and shops where, you know, in the morning people come and pick up X number of people based on, you know, ability, physical strength, etc. But here, if you have an organized app, then that is help enabling a lot more consistency and regularity in terms of these daily laborers having a regular contact with the contractors and the customers. And in return, the contractors and the customers also can build their relationships and in an organized way tap into the daily wage laborer market. So there is a lot of work being done from an employment inclusivity point of view, and that has a very significant impact on the social footprint of any community. So Fab India, over the period of years, especially with e-commerce coming in, there is so much competition which has come into Fab India. There are so many competitors with, you know, ethnic, art and craft, handy, cottage industry, themed products. However, Fab India has a loyal customer base, who, despite competition being there in the industry, are very, very loyal to Fab India. And even if the pricing of Fab India, they might find the pricing of Fab India maybe on the higher end, they still choose to go straight to Fab India and don't even explore other avenues. Again, it's working through brick and mortar stores. It's also working very effectively through online platforms. It also has tie-ups with a lot of credit cards, etc. There are a lot of collaborations in terms of reward points, which is keeping the scaling up activity moving constantly, especially in these competitive markets. We have spoken about Selco Solar, which is helping the energy, green energy revolution in the country. It's headquartered in Karnataka, India. Likewise, when it comes to contributing to the planet, there are ventures like Angrius, which is creating bricks, which are an alternative, healthy alternative to your regular brick and mortar bricks which are healthy alternatives and eco-friendly alternatives, and at the same time are strong enough and used from and created from recycled material. So contributing to the circular economy once again. Also, what is very important is that they require significantly lesser energy to produce, the kind of space which is required to create physical brick and mortar, conventional bricks, the brick kilns, the kind of space that is required. These eco-friendly bricks require lot smaller space, lot smaller, lot lesser energy to be created from these recycled, repurposed materials. So again, contributing to the circular economy, there is Enerlife, which is using AI to create energy efficient, innovative cooling systems. So lot of your enterprises across helping your total impact with keeping the planet as a priority. So Selco has a belief not only about providing energy for the sake of power needs, for powering your appliances and electricity, but it views energy. So Selco views energy and the access to energy for disadvantaged communities not simply as a source of power, that this energy is powering your electricity, your light bulbs, your appliances, refrigerators, etc., but also looks at energy as being the underlying precondition, which eventually is related to health, livelihoods, education, etc., financial inclusion. So in totality, helping towards improving the quality of life of the communities involved. And again, when we are talking about alternate energy contributing to the planet, then look at the milestones that Selco has achieved. So they have, even though profits is not their primary goal, yet they have maintained modest profits. The profits get redeployed back into the company for further growth. They have had a fairly decent annual growth rate of, about 20%, and they have had a massive impact in terms of the number of lives touched by Selco. Also, what happens when enterprises like Selco have a positive impact? They also influence and inspire others to start contributing in their own way, whether it's in terms of alternate energy, whether it's in terms of various other forms of eco-healthy, eco-friendly contributions to impact the community, to impact the planet. So, for example, you have Sero, which the innovative idea Sero, which Sero Smart Mobility, which provides charging stations for electric vehicles. So they are working on charging station infrastructure for electric vehicles. Now, as in India, electric vehicles are catching on so rapidly, especially the two-wheeler segment. The growth is so rapid that we often see that there is a dearth of charging stations in buildings. For example, in Mumbai societies, when people are putting up, using electric vehicles and they are charging it, there are enough complaints from others that why are they charging their vehicles here, their bikes, their cars here. The entire building is contributing to their, is subsidizing their electricity bill. This is not okay. So having shared resources, collective, organized infrastructure for charging your electric vehicles is something which can really positively impact the growth of this eco-friendly segment. Also, for example, learning from global experiments and global innovation and entrepreneurship, Sweden has experimented with creating a road which is constructed in a way that the road itself acts as a charger for the electric vehicles running on it. There is electricity below the surface, and when the cars are traveling on the road, then they can have this gadget which can be lowered, which is skidding along, moving along the roads and getting charged from that electricity. At the same time, they have made these roads safe for people to use and walk on because the electricity is well below the surface in a way where it cannot electrocute or harm the pedestrians. So innovative ideas like this inspire more and more people to undertake and give life to social entrepreneurship with a focus on the planet, with the focus on the people. So talking about the health care sector, we have seen examples of Arvind Eye Hospital. We have seen so many other examples where people have made leaps and bounds on the healthcare front. Likewise, there's Bempu Health, which has their aim is that they want to innovate in the life-saving health products for children in low-resource areas. So you remember the innovation when I was talking about malnutrition children. Of course, extreme malnutrition leads to child mortality rates also being high. And the observation that, 4% of the world's children die before their fifth birthday is really heartbreaking and inspires entities like Bempu to then come up with these products for these low resource areas, make them cost effective, disrupt those communities, get those communities to accept these products, allow people to help them and work with them to bring about this positive change and have a positive impact on the health of the children. And then, of course, all of that is going to have a trickle-down effect in terms of stronger children, healthier children, more focused on education, more focused on future vocational skills, acquiring vocational skills, other kinds of skills, employment, and then, of course, eventually not just be, look forward to a fulfilling life in terms of their livelihood, but probably become job creators from being job seekers, become job creators and give back to the society. So right at the starting with early, children early on can have this positive impact through the entire journey of their life, not just for them, but for everyone around them, families, and for the community and economy as a whole. So this inequity which is there in terms of healthcare, this inequity which is there in terms of children not receiving the proper nutrition is a need which is being met by multiple enterprises like Bempu. In the past, I had mentioned about the award-winning Sophie's Kitchen, which for parts of Southeast Asia, which are disadvantaged, which are way below the poverty line, they experimented with creating this algae, which is a source of high protein and high nutrition, and it is extremely cost-effective, and it's also does not take too much area to produce. So it is helping the planet, it is helping the these communities get the nutrition that they deserve, which can probably in some way reduce the gap in health and nutrition requirements between the haves and the have-nots.